another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
You are listening to
Trial by Stone.
Trial by Stone!
Dea Tea, Dera Tea.
Your vital essence of the Dark Crystal.
Kida, Kida.
Come, see for yourself.
Aru, Garu.
How very interesting.
Dea Tea. I feel the song of Thra in my heart. Now go, you heroes of Thra.
Hello and welcome to Trial by Stone, the Dark Crystal podcast. I'm your host, Phil.
And I'm Sydney.
And we are here, of course, for those who are new to the podcast. This is all about Dark Crystal, of course. There's quite a few little things that sort of have popped up with what we love, the Dark Crystal, of course, especially with the recent 4K digital release Shout Studios. It's actually funny because every time I'm thinking Shout, I'm thinking Boom Studios for a second there, but it's like, no, it's not Boom. Boom are the comics, of course, from Arkea that have been doing a lot of the Dark Crystal comics in the past. But no, it's Shout Studios, so.
Boom, Shout.
Boom, Shout. I know. Same sound. Out. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so that's been kind of interesting to see what's been happening with that, which I think we'll definitely dive into later on in the show. But, of course, I mean, big thing, I guess we want to start off with what's been very recent, of course. This has just popped up, you know, almost like less than a day before we recorded, actually.
Within 24 hours ago of us recording this, definitely.
Yes. So, of course, we want to send a big congratulations to Louis Leterrier, of course. And this was reported...
Mon Capitan!
Yes! And as this was reported on Variety, but also on lots of different media outlets... But the big one we're sort of be looking at is on from Variety, and the headline is the Lupin star Omar Sy, Fast X director Louis Leterrier, and Gangs of London producer Thomas Bensky have funded Carousel Studios, a European independent production company with offices in Paris, London, Los Angeles, and Senegal.
Wow. That is so exciting.
Absolutely, yeah. So, no, which is really great. So, no, a big congrats to Louis. And it'll definitely be interesting, like, what kind of projects that they'll get, you know, running with this new, new studio that they've sort of got happening now.
Yeah. I mean, according to the Variety article, it says that they're financing and producing film and TV projects with an emphasis on elevated action, thrillers, sci-fi, fantasy, and comedy. And I feel like that's, while it is a really broad spectrum, it also sort of zeroes in at the same time on the sorts of content that we know Louis Leterrier to already be a part of.
Yes.
And we know that he's very capable and masterful in those realms. And even though Dark Crystal Age of Resistance is not mentioned in this article, which not salty about it.
Well, yes, I know. That was the one big thing I was sort of, I'm so shocked about. Like, shocked. Yeah, because I know, it's, I'm just trying to think. Yeah, so the only mentions, of course, is, you know, really just the films, with the exception of Lupin, of course, which, you know, Lupin is a TV with Netflix. That was sort of the only exception, but yes, no mention of Dark Crystal.
Yeah,
as one of his credits. But yeah,
that being said, Age of Resistance is sort of a perfect example of a piece of content that incorporates all of those listed like genres kind of within one series. I mean, it's definitely got some action thrills. It's got sci-fi elements. Obviously, it's fantasy first and foremost. And then it is also funny. Like there's, it's interesting to me that the article doesn't mention Age of Resistance when it's such a great example of all of these amazing things
that they want to do. Exactly.
But, and again, just being silly about it. Like it's still super exciting that these articles are being, you know, highlighting these incredibly talented people and everything. It's more of just like a, oh, ha ha, here we are being ignore the nerds again.
No, exactly.
But at the same time, like it is just so, so cool to see such talented, and not just talented, not only more than capable, but also just kind, welcoming, warm human beings like Louis Leterrier, taking initiative to make their own force in the industry and not just, you know, like, yes, it's always great to collaborate and work under, you know, other big name studios like, you know, Netflix, Henson, all sorts of things. But to be able to create your own stamp, you know, with people, other artists that you trust and create something that's sort of artist forward, which is kind of a paraphrase on what the article talks about, how Carousel is, the intent of it is to be artist first, you know, the creators having a voice and a say in what they're putting out there instead of just sort of being at the mercy of a big umbrella studio telling them what to do necessarily. I really like that they, the inspiration for calling it Carousel, let me see who says it. It's right on the, on this article, it says, Cy, Leterrier, and Benski, who have worked together on several series and films, said the name of the company Carousel reflects its inclusive DNA. A carousel's sole purpose is to entertain, no matter where the writers come from, no matter their age or background. And then that's explained from the trio in a joint statement. So that's why that was the answer. I was like, which one of them said it? They all said it.
Yeah, they all said it.
together. Additionally, the word carousel is understood around the globe and associated with magical moments. Our carousel will have that same feel with a modern approach to making global content in an artist-first environment. This also sounds very familiar to me as a Disney employee. There's a lot of the same lot of the same terminology used there at my workplace, where we talk about obviously we have a literal carousel, but talking about making magical moments and
being transported into part of the new brand. Worlds and you know all that kind of stuff.
So I definitely think that sort of terminology tells me that the type of content that's going to come out of this project is probably going to be highly, highly interesting to us.
Definitely.
And even if it doesn't directly lead to, I don't want to jump too far ahead and say, this means they're going to produce a new Dark Crystal thing.
I know. Or it's going to mean that there's going to be a co-production with Carousel and Henson. I mean,
it's not impossible though. That is something that, could happen. Like it is definitely something that is, you know, it's not impossible.
Yeah, because you never know. Yeah.
But even if that's not on the map, the content that is going to be produced from Carousel sounds like it's going to be things that are on the same caliber and relevant and adjacent to the type of content that we talk about here on this show. And it's just really exciting. I based on the types of things that that these three men, but Louis especially, because we know him the most. The types of content that they have already been a part of. It's really exciting to think of what we might have ahead of us. You know, even if it's not Dark Crystal, it'll still be really, really cool projects that the world needs more of, I think. Original ideas, I think, is the bottom line of what I'm getting at. It's going to be,
I think so, yeah.
I'm anticipating some original ideas.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I'm really excited too. Like, just over the moon and just sort of, it's just going to be really exciting to see what sort of projects they're going to get going in the future. I mean, of course, you know, Louis has, you know, his next project that he's doing, of course, is the next installment in the Fast and Furious franchise. So I know he's probably got that going on at the moment. But yeah, I mean, I think after that, I think it'll be all, moving forward, you know, all full speed with Carousel. So it's really great, you know, reading this article and reading the news. And yeah, again, you know, big congratulations to Louis, and of course to Omar and Thomas as well, for their part, you know, with launching their own studios. So yeah, exciting times.
Really, really cool. I also think, you know, huge, it makes my heart very happy to hear that statement about like entertaining no matter where the writers come from. Like,
no matter what background you're from, yeah, you know, we're here to entertain everyone, sort of thing.
Yes, that inclusivity of the artist first, that's super, super cool. Very excited to see what's going to happen. So, Louis!
Yeah, indeed. So I mean, we'll put the link in the show notes as well, so you can read more details about it. So, moving on from that announcement from Louis, let's delve into Dark Crystal, of course. And this was something that actually happened. I'm actually trying to think when this event happened. I know there was like a big press event at the Henson Company lot, and to promote the 4K digital releases of the Dark Crystal and Labyrinth. And I will say, we did really try our best to sort of like get into the event or whatnot, but of course, yes.
Yeah, we were very graciously invited, and that was incredibly kind and really exciting. Timing just didn't work out for us. It was just, there wasn't enough time for us to get out of work, and in your case, you know, fly.
I know, it would be hilarious if I actually flew over from us.
but you know, very, very, very cool that something like this still happened, all things considered, and that to see some influencers who are, you know, up and coming or currently entertaining audiences all over the internet right now, going to something like this. And I think it's also, you know, a reason why it's exciting that this 4K release is happening in the first place, that what I hope happens is that it's going to continue to open up new audiences who haven't seen this content yet, who have not seen the Dark Crystal yet, who are not as acquainted with Henson projects that are not just Muppets and Sesame Street, enhancing their exposure to the fantasy genre and getting nerdy with us about the things that we love. So really exciting to see things like that happening right now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I'm just trying to think, and I guess, you know, as always, you know, any interviews when it comes to anyone from Henson, you know, we're always just trying to find, oh, you know, is there anything they mentioned about Dark Crystal? And of course, you know, being a 4K release, you know, they did talk a lot about the original film and all that kind of stuff. And that was all fantastic. But I did love that at least some people did ask him about, in regards to age resistance and, you know, if there would be a follow-up, or, I think someone even questioned, I was just looking at this article from Paste magazine, and I think this has been a quote that's been, I think, on other media outlets, but, I think Paste was the one that sort of popped into, my mind. And pretty much saying, is the Dark Crystal world still alive? And the quote from Lisa, which I'll read out this whole thing. The Dark Crystal is very alive. It was such a spectacular experience. I would say for almost everybody who was involved with it, it was the best thing we ever worked on. It was the most fun we ever had, and the biggest, deepest dive into puppetry in this art form that most of us will ever have. So the Dark Crystal is going to keep going, whether we ever do 10 hours of puppetry at premium television quality. We may never get to do that again, but we'll definitely get to do more Dark Crystal. I mean, yeah, one of the wonderful things about the Dark Crystal world is, for the Henson Company, it's like our own mini version of a Star Wars universe, because it's a really more expansive world. It's got a past, present, and future. You have things and even other dimensions that are happening at the same time. We have a whole story in our publishing that takes place in the center of the Earth. So she's talking about the power of the Dark Crystal and beneath. But it's still the same world. You know, it's really fun that we can revisit the Dark Crystal, whether it's in publishing or gaming or graphic novels or the YA books. We're able to tell these kind of stories that didn't even make it into the productions. So yeah, it's still interesting. I mean, it's still great that it's still like on their minds, even if they're not actively doing anything sort of thing. But it's nice to know that, you know, it's still in their minds. And I think probably the big thing is almost an admittance, I guess, should, you know, there ever be a continuation of Age of Resistance, you know, that this is one thing that I sort of looked at. You know, it's like whether we ever do 10 hours of puppetry, premium television quality. She sort of said we may never get to do that. It doesn't mean that, it doesn't rule it out completely, but it's like, you know, what we
that
did
might
in Age
have been
is
like a yeah. lightning in the bottle, like once in a lifetime sort
exactly,
of thing.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
How many
so it's like,
are you going to get to do that?
Yeah, so like, you know, I think at the time, like when I was reading that article, you know, I sort of interpreted, oh, they're not, you know, no Dark Crystal live action sort of thing. But chatting to other people, it's like, you know, I think, yeah, it's probably more, yeah, like of that scale, it may not happen, but it could still happen. But yeah, so it's sort of course up in the air. And I know there's always been a lot of talk about, you know, if it did follow up, like, you know, whether they just make a movie length sort of finale kind of thing to sort of tell the rest of the story.
I would be more than happy with one movie.
Yeah,
just another movie would be incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
And honestly, like more books, more comics, more expanded universe. Like I'm gonna buy all of it, frankly.
I know. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, I'm not gonna be mad at whatever they give us as long as they put the same heart and effort into it to, you know, maintain the integrity. But it's very hopeful. It's encouraging to hear that the company does recognize that Dark Crystal is part of the heart and soul and the lifeblood of the Henson legacy. And so they're going to keep it there in some capacity, even though they may not have something concrete right now that's like officially announced, officially in the works. They haven't just decided like, okay, we're closing the book on it. What we have is enough. Like we're done. This statement is certainly not saying that.
No. And I know before the show, I think we talked a little bit about Labyrinth and how, you know, it's sort of like, I mean, they did actually talk about a bit about the sequel as well, saying the progress of it. And it seems they're still trying to work out the script, still trying to work out the story. I think it's like, you know, they're keen, Sony, the studio that did, distribute, the Labyrinth, I think they're all still keen. It's just still trying to find the right story to tell. And of course, I mean, that they've been talking about this for years, you know, and I think, I think they talked about it. I mean, even before, I think the great conjunction that was back in 22, and yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because I guess as we know that every time when they've announced something, especially with Dark Crystal, you know, back in the early 2000s with Power of the Dark Crystal and sort of how that sort of unfortunately fell through, and they kept updating like every year, every couple of years about it. And I think it seemed, and I think even Lisa, I think in one of the interviews that she's like, oh, she doesn't want to say too much about Labyrinth because it's like, well, you know, don't know, like how much more progress it's going to make between, you know, now and a year's time and all that kind of stuff. So, and I guess,
even when they do have a script finished, it's still going to take bare minimum a year to, you know, film the movie, build the puppets, like, and a year is highly ambitious. Like, it would certainly be more than that. So we're definitely looking at a good chunk of time before we see anything tangible about it. But the thing to me is that, you know, she specifically mentioned in this article, in this interview, that they haven't been able to get the script right, or that they have to start over with a new script. And my initial instinct is to be like, okay, you have Will and Jeff right there.
Yeah. They did pitch. Well, that was the thing. Like, they went to Henson originally just to pitch a Labyrinth sequel. So they definitely have their own take. That's for sure. Yeah.
You have Javier right there. you have people who are more than capable right there. Like, the only excuse I feel like for not just bringing all those guys back to write a Bangin' Labyrinth sequel is if they themselves are, you know, they decide that they don't want to do it because they have other things going on, or they're too busy, or they've decided that it's not the right move for them in that moment, in which case I would respect that. That's cool. I just hope that it's not a situation of like, hey, here we are, we have stuff for you, because it was my understanding that, you know, Will and Jeff, of course, Will Matthews and Jeffrey Addis, they came to Henson not knowing they were going to be part of Age of Resistance. Way back in the day when they first got signed on to the project, they thought they were coming with a pitch for the Labyrinth sequel. So we know they have material. It's there. And I just hope that it's not a situation now where it's like they still have material and they still have a desire to be a part of it, and for whatever reason, Henson is putting up a block and not letting them do it. I really hope that that's not what's happening, and that it's, you know, it would be great if they could still be involved. And Javier, I mean, we know that man is a screenwriting genius. Like, he literally, you know, writes essays teaching how to, you know, properly write, and the theories and pontifications about screenwriting. Like, he's a literal master, and, you know, they got their numbers right there. And they probably have tons of ideas. And I just, you know, I'm by no means am I trying to speak for them and say, like, you know, they're over there. I just really hope, that it's, if they want to be involved, that they will be.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. 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 So it's just, it'll just be interesting, you know, the progress with Labyrinth down the track. But I think that's the thing now, is sort of like, I think they probably learned probably more so after Power of the Dark Crystal, that they're sort of like, yeah, we'll just, you know, keep a much lower profile when it comes to probably those two IPs, like with any productions or anything. You know, we don't want to, you know, announce things way in advance, and they may or may not happen, sort of thing. Which I think that's why, you know, when Age of Resistance was announced, like, that was like a complete shock to everyone. Because it's like, wow, we did not see this coming, and there was no word about it. I mean, I didn't, you know, as someone who's been podcasting, for, you know, all about Dark Crystal for several years, and, you know, I didn't get any inside sources or anything like that. So, So I think that's the thing. It'll be interesting to see what they will do next for Dark Crystal, you know, especially, you know, when it comes to puppetry, and also I think in publishing as well, which I know that's something that they've sort of been lacking at the moment, like with new stuff. Of course, I know they've done a lot in the past through Archaea, and as far as I know, Archaea still owns, I think they still have the rights to all the Jim Henson company, you know, the projects. I think, for example, they talked about, I think they're doing a special one-off comic for Farscape, which of course celebrates its 25th anniversary this year. So I know there was a Kickstarter for that sort of popped up or whatnot. So yeah. But I just kind of felt like, oh, you know, Dark Crystal sort of been in, too much in the background a little bit, but you know, we'll just see what happens. And yeah, take it from there. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just really trying to think. I mean, and actually one thing I will say about the 4K, I haven't had a chance to watch the digital 4K release. But what I did do, I did actually watch the ending of the film, because with the 4K release that came out, because of course it came out in 2018 through Sony, they did a full remaster and everything. But there was actually an issue. There are some video issues. One of which was to do with the Great Conjunction. Long story short, I think I did write an article about it on the podcast website. And there was like this weird issue where I think that wide shot of where you saw Jen when the light went, you know, the three suns go together, and you see that wide shot and the light beams into the crystal before, you know, Jen heals the dark crystal. That there was like this weird sort of flash frame of like the first frame was like the last frame of the same shot. So there was like a weird sort of issue with that. That's always been in these releases since then. And I think when we talked about it, I thought, oh, you know, it's just going to be a copy and paste kind of thing. You know, we're not going to see any improvements or anything, any changes, whatnot. But I think I can safely say that they actually fixed it. But the thing is, I don't know. Like, I will say I did email Shout Studios and asked them about this. But they couldn't really come. They didn't really give me sort of an answer of like how, with the master of the film that they're using to sell, you know, to sell their own digital release. Because I know that, I mean, the only big difference is probably, of course, I had the Shout Studios title card at the start that goes for 5 seconds before you get to the Universal Studio logo, and then of course to the title cards. So I thought that was really interesting. So I don't know whether that was something that once the 4K release did get released, that they noticed these issues and are like, okay, you know, they fixed them up, and then had planned to maybe re-release it, you know, and have that sort of fixed up. So that was something I was like, you know, the nerd in me of noticing these things. I think there's still a couple little issues, but yeah. But I haven't been able to sort of like, I mean, I would love to actually, you know, had watch both the 2018, I probably need two TVs really to do this. So 2018 and then in the digital 4K, just back to back. So, you know, two TVs together just to see what the difference, if there's any like visual differences between the two releases. But I know at least they fixed up that Great Conjunction scene. That sort of was bugging me actually quite a bit. So that's sort of interesting. And I think I did read an article as well that I think pretty much everything that they were doing at that press event for to celebrate the 4K release, I do have a sneaky suspicion.
Wrestling over here.
Yeah, I know. So you had your Kira, was it?
No, that was Lilu.
Lilu, right, yeah, yeah.
Trying to get my attention right now. She's trying to get on my shoulder like a parrot.
Yeah, theater. Anyway. Theater of the mind. Apologies. Yeah. So what was I talking about? Oh yeah, of course, the 4K. things that they filmed for that special event. It did seem like that they might actually put some of these videos that they're probably going to make for a possible, probably like a 4K physical release for the Dark Crystal and Labyrinth. They haven't announced anything yet. But I will say that I do think like if it's going to come, it's probably going to come out sooner than later. I don't think they'll be like, oh, let's just wait in a couple of years time sort of thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're sort of like actively like working on it. And, I mean, if they, you know, released it like later this year or early next year, for example, I think that would be great. And again, it'll be another great little collection, another another 4K release of a physical copy of The Dark Crystal. Which is great. And because I know, especially in Australia, like physical copies of media has sort of been going down quite a bit. Because you might have heard, or you know, when it comes to physical media, but basically in Australia, Disney have stopped distributing like any 4K or Blu-ray movies. So now it's like slim pickings now in most of these stores to get you. And I think it seems like some other studios or some distributors are sort of slowly following suit with that, so which has been a bit of a shame. But but it's nice to know that, you know, you have these studios like Shout that have got, well, they now have the worldwide rights to Dark Crystal and Labyrinth in 4K, and you know, all these different aspects that I think that's going to be really exciting and something to really look forward to, at least. And I mean,
it would be so cool if they released Age of Resistance in some sort of physical medium in for the 5-year anniversary. I mean,
I know.
If they do it?
I know. It would be perfect. It would be perfect timing. And that's the thing at the moment. It's like we have no idea. So usually we would have thought by now that usually when a show gets cancelled, I think I probably talked about this quite a few times, but when a show gets cancelled, a couple of years later, the full rights to the show goes back to, you know, to the production company. So we would have thought by now that all the rights for Age of Resistance would revert back to Henson's probably by now. But I still have no idea of if that has happened or if they still retain the rights or who knows.
Right.
We'll
find out one way or the other, around August, around, the actual anniversary of Age of Resistance sometime this year would be perfect timing to let us know. Give us something. That's, I think, the most frustrating thing is not necessarily like not having anything come out, but to just not even know. Like, if there's nothing happening, if there's no plans, if there's like, just tell us, dude. Like,
it's, yeah, no. Yeah,
just say it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think like that's really, I mean, especially as we know of Dark Crystal, one of the big reasons that their franchise has actually been kept going is because of these physical releases. You know, starting off, you know, from Betamax and VHSs, and you know, going all the way to DVDs. I think DVD really spiked for them. And then going from that to Blu-ray and 4K Blu-ray. I think like this is sort of the missing piece. I mean, especially for Age of Resistance to get a 4K physical release. I think, you know, that would be just really great. I mean, you know, they can slot in, you know, some special features. They can slot in the Crystal Calls documentary. They could have, you know, some more special features if they wanted to. They can even put in some of our audio commentaries as well, you know, if they really wanted to.
You have our permission. Use them.
Yeah, so...
put us out there.
Yeah.
I would lose my dang mind.
And then it's something like I love to try and get back into doing more audio commentaries. So I think that's... I think we probably need to dive back into that, because I know we've done episodes 1, 2, and 7... So I think we need to go back to 3 onwards, and it would be really nice to get back into that. So yeah, a lot of things to sort of, you know, on my mind when it comes to Dark Crystal. So for the listeners out there, you know, of course, you know, with the 5-year anniversary coming up, let us know like what you'd like for us, you know, specifically to chat about for the 5-year anniversary for Age of Resistance. Definitely send us an email at darkcrystalpodcast@gmail.com. I'd be interested to know your thoughts. I know we've got quite a few ideas, and I'm really interested to see what you'd like to hear, the listeners as well. So
Definitely. Send us stuff.
Yes, yes.
Give us ideas. We have a few of our own, but it'd be nice to see if you're on the same page or if you thought of anything we haven't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So, we got a few things in the pipeline that I think hopefully when they come out, like, they'll be really, really nice when they do. So stay tuned for that. And it's nice chatting Dark Crystal with you again, Cindy, because I know, like, I know, unfortunately, I realized we didn't do a show in February, and one thing I will announce, actually, the next episode of Trial by Stone, we interviewed Becky Henderson, of course, the puppeteer of Deet, behind Age of Resistance. So, and we did record video, so we're planning to release that, you know, in video and audio form. So that will be the next episode. So I'll announce that right now. So I'm looking forward to seeing, getting that episode out there, because I know there's been a bit of work on that, which is all good. So yeah. So
it was a lot of fun. She is an absolute delight to chat to, and always nice to have another nerd around.
Yes. Yeah.
And hanging out with us.
And she was so great. And it was just great chatting to her about it and about her time on Dark Crystal, and that was just, we had an amazing time. So no, we're looking forward to it.
And we had tea.
Yes, we did. we talked tea as well. So that was great. So we got that to look forward to, and quite a few other things in store. But I'm just trying to think anything else. Probably last thing, we'll do a little shout out to TamsCon, of course. Zay, who ran the Great Conjunction, is currently working on a new convention, which I think is called the I'm just getting the name of it. I think it was called the Never Ending Fantasy Con, which tickets are on sale right now, and it's on from the 31st of May to the 2nd of June of this year. And it's just described as a weekend of fantasy fun celebrating 80s fantasy films, the 40th anniversary of The Neverending Story, and Tammy Shernax, who played the childlike empress, big comeback to the silver screen in fantasy feature film Man and Witch, The Dance of a Thousand Steps. And that will be taking place in London, England. So that's really cool. And actually, I haven't seen Neverending. I have seen the film, of course, but it's been a long time since I've seen it, actually. So it's like I feel like I need to revisit that film, rewatch it. You know,
yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's a classic for a reason.
Yes,
has excellent puppetry, excellent character designs. Music is, of course, iconic. So big yays for Zay again, because her events are always just so much fun, and anytime they're fantasy related, I feel like that is her wheelhouse. So it's really cool to see her have a another event out there in the UK for 80s fantasy fans, but specifically to zero in on the 40th anniversary of Neverending Story. Some really cool guests have been announced over there so far, so that'll be really fun. I think the Frauds also just had an event recently as well.
Yeah, they did. About a week or so ago.
The Froudian Fairy event, been sort of living vicariously through the posts that Iris Compete has been posting about it, because it looks like she had an incredible time hanging out with the Frauds. The costumes and outfits looked so, so cool. Love to see the Frauds still going strong. Speaking of Iris Compete, just today posted, this is brand new information. The award that she won in 2021, but she just posted about it. She got it in the mail. She got a Chesley Award for the Dark Crystal Bestiary. And it's basically sort of like a They are recognizing individual works and achievements not otherwise recognized by the Hugo Awards during a given year. They're basically, you know, big acknowledgments in fantasy and science fiction and, you know, recognizing achievements in artistic achievements, rather. And it's super cool that she won it specifically for best interior illustration for The Dark Crystal Bestiary. And yeah, she just posted today about how she got the award in the mail, and it looks very cool. So yeah, congrats to Iris. I know that that's, again, she won the award in 2021, so that's not necessarily news, but you know, she is posting about it today as we record this. As of seconds ago, I just saw her post about it, and I was like, oh yeah, if we haven't talked about that.
No.
Super cool that that's the book that she won that award for.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She's very, very proud of her work in Thra.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, yeah, with that and the Labyrinth Beast series that followed soon after. They were great. Dark Crystal Beast series. Yeah, no, she did really great in that one. Had her own style.
And of course, we interviewed her as well. So check out that episode.
Yes, we did. Yeah. No, so definitely check that out. So I think that probably covers everything or most things. For now. Yeah. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see what will happen as we get closer to the 5-year anniversary. I think that's pretty much all we're sort of like anticipating at the moment, seeing if Henson will be doing anything or if anything will come of it. But Dark Crystal will be there. The podcast Trial by Stone will be there to cover it, and we'll have a few things in store as well. We'll wrap up for this episode. But again, yeah, thank you so much, and stay tuned for the next episode of Trial by Stone.
If you'd like to get in contact with the show, you can do so at darkcrystalpodcast@gmail.com. You can also like us on Facebook, follow on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe on YouTube. If you'd like to know more about the podcast, visit our website at www.darkcrystalpodcast.com. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the next episode of Trial by Stone.